Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thank you for listening to Susie Larson Live. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. So thanks for giving, and thanks for sharing with a friend. It's only just a matter of welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Isn't that something, how God will give us just enough light for our next few steps? Why does He do that? You know, I think it's because we so often, we're just bent and prone to rely on our own strength, understanding, and wisdom. And while we do become wiser the longer we walk with God in humble submission, we need Him every hour. It's so interesting. I mentioned in an earlier show this week, Kevin and I, my hubby and I, are going through another 21-day partial fast. We did one in November, one in December, one in January, just because we were really waiting on God for some breakthroughs. And we're using the same book. It's just where we fast, concentrating on the names of God. And we're kind of in some seasons of transition, again, just asking God for some breakthroughs. But we chronicled the answers back then of things like, give me something, God. You know, show me what you're going to do. We sense you want us to be ready to move and act, but we got nothing. We don't know what you're going to do. And to stand here and read now those recordings from November and December and January, being where we are now, seeing that so many of those things came to pass, some were an inch at a time, some were a big breakthrough at a time, but the things we are crying out to God for worked out. God answered in His will, His way, His time. And we've really learn to embrace, we don't want your permissive will, God. We want your best will. We want to trust your timing. And this is why today's conversation is so important, because whether you see Him or not, sense Him or not, can really discern what your next step should be or not, God is with you. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. Fox News religion correspondent Lauren Green joins me today to talk about her beautiful devotional, Light for Today, 365 Daily Devotions from the Lighthouse. And we've got a handful of copies to give away today. If you're up for a brand new, fresh, just look at God's Word, some fresh inspiration, you can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. A couple quick announcements. For those who live in the Twin Cities area, I'll be speaking at the Extraordinary Woman Conference on Saturday, April 27th at Sheraton in Minneapolis, in Minnetonka, Minnesota. For more information, go to discovermyinsidestory.com. And also, our spring fundraiser starts next week. Will you be praying for us? These are landmark moments. We're listener supported. We do this two big times a year and then a couple short days at the end of the year. And it's always a time to cast vision, to really thank God for His faithfulness and to trust Him for the days ahead. And if there's ever a day where we needed to shine brightly in a dark world, it's right here. It's right now. So this is an important week for us at Faith Radio. Pray you be prayerfully considering even how you might be involved. Now let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Lauren Green is the chief religion correspondent for Fox News Channel and has been with the network since 1996. She's also the author of Lighthouse Faith. And the book we're talking about today is Light for Today. She hosts the Lighthouse Faith podcast. She's also a classically trained pianist. Lauren and her husband, Theodore, live in New York City. Lauren, welcome to the program. What an honor to have you with us today.
Oh, it's a real blessing to be here. Thank you so much, Susie.
I have to let our listeners know that you're buddies, you're friends with Bill Arnold, and that's so precious because any friend of Bill's is a friend of ours. So that's really fun.
Oh, Bill and I go way back. Yeah. No, yeah. He's great. And I could tell you some stories, but I won't.
Yes.
I won't.
We might record some bonus material for later. So anyway. Well, Lauren, we love to open the show with the same question every day, and it's just more on a personal level, just because our walk with God is so beautiful and personal and unique. I'm wondering, as you spend time with Him, what's He been talking to you about these days?
This is really something that has been on my heart for a few weeks now, and I actually wrote a piece on FoxNews.com about this, and it is the question that Jesus poses to Peter when he asks them, his apostles, well, who do people say that I am? You know, some say Elijah, some say, you know, whatever. And then he says, but who do you say that I am? And that question to me, because it's in the three synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And when something is on all three gospels like that, it's important. But I think that what's really important is that Jesus is not just asking Peter, he's asking us. He's saying to us, but who do you say that I am? You see, the question was before, you know, who do people say that I am? And then people always have an answer. Well, some people say this, some people say this, and some people say this. You could be this, a good teacher of love. You're this, you're, you know, you're an example for us to live by, whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like, but who do you say that I am? You know, that question is so personal. And I think what it says to me is that Jesus is not content with our theories. He wants our heart and he wants our mind to really engage and understand that he's there for us personally, not just this general idea of, you know, follow my example. And I think that's what's been on my mind. But what's important to understand, when he asks Peter this, he knows that Peter's answer, which is, he says, you are the Messiah, you are the Christ, right? Jesus says, well, this is a revelation from God. And the reason why we know this is because it's not when the fire is on, when Jesus is arrested, Jesus knows that Peter's going to deny him three times. And he's like, well, how can this man who was just told, who just told Jesus that you're the Christ, the Messiah by revelation, how could he then turn and deny him three times? And Jesus knows he's going to do this. But then after the resurrection, Jesus encounters Peter again. And he asks him, Peter, do you love me? And he says, you know that I love you. He says, feed my sheep. He asks him three times, do you love me? And each time, Peter's frustrated, but he says, you know that I love you. You know, feed my sheep. Do you understand? For every denial, then Peter, Jesus gives him the opportunity to now tell him he loves him three times, like negating the denial. So it just shows how personal Jesus can be with us to say, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And then if our answer is the Messiah, the Christ, and it says, do you love me? And that's the next question. And that question we have to answer individually as well. So I think that's been on my mind as we think about, you know, people who are professed Christians, and this really was on my heart. Who do you say Jesus is?
Wow. I love the juxtaposed questions. Who do you say that he is? And do you love him?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I would love for that question to settle into the land, not only in our nation and all of the nations of the earth. And Lauren, we've got people listening in from 170 countries. It's just amazing. And so when you think about that, friends, dare to just ponder, who do you say he is? And do you believe? I mean, do you profess with your mouth? And if so, do you love him? And wow, that's wonderful, Lauren. Thank you. I would love some backstory on your faith journey. How did you come to Christ?
I came to Christ. I just interviewed a doctor who, Dr. Alan Weissenbacher, who wrote the book, The Brain Change Program. And he talks about some people are on the, some people are microwave, some people are crock pots. The microwave is the Apostle Paul version where you just get a revelation and there you're in the light. And the Jacob program is the slow process. It's the crock pot. I was on the crock pot version where you were raised in a Christian household, but like a lot of Christians, you know, in my generation, you're sort of breathing the air of Christianity. You go to church, you go to Sunday school, you take communion, it's Easter vacation, it's Christmas vacation, but you're not really challenged in your faith because the whole world, the whole community is Christian. So I think when I was in college, I remember asking the question, what is the question that would answer every other question? You know, somehow I knew that there was a point that everything was solved with this one thing. And I asked it, I think, I believe so sincerely that God in his mercy and grace decided that he was going to show me over the next few years and decades, I will show you what that question is. I will answer it for you. And that's how it happened, you know. I believed in God, but I didn't understand the sovereignty of God, you know, that he was at the end of every pursuit, that he was in control of everything. He was the objective standard of right and wrong that existed outside of me. He is the light. He is the one who said, let there be light. He is the order that is created by the scientific facts that scientists have learned. He is the reason behind all of that. So here is this, you know, 17, 18 year old asking the question, what is the question that would answer every other question? And then I guess maybe in the back of my mind, in the deep, deep, deep recesses of my mind, I knew the answer was God. But God was going to open those doors to me in ways that I had never understood, leading me and guiding me through scripture reading, through Bible studies, through different churches, through different ministries, and just being blown away by how God could be so patient with me, so loving, so understanding, so incredibly blessing to me. It's almost overwhelming, really.
You know, I'm imagining, Lauren, that your story is really ministering to the heart of parents who maybe have a crockpot kid, you know, a crockpot young adult, because we want it to be a one-size-fits-all. We want it to be a sensational microwave revelation and this radical shift. But I really love the grace behind that analysis, because there are some who just little bits at a time. I mean, if I remember right, in the Old Testament, even God invited the Israelites to take the promised land little at a time, because that's all they could handle.
Yeah.
Take it a little at a time. And when you think about people who are just, they got questions, and maybe they've encountered some things in church that really were legitimate questions, but were not met with good answers. So they're just sincerely seeking and taking their time and doing it. That God's not forgotten about them. I think someone needed to hear that today.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things too, though, that you were, I hear constantly from theologians and from scientific people who are believers, is that one of the great reasons why young people turn away from organized religion or their churches is because a pastor can't answer their scientific questions. You know, one of the questions like, what, you know, what's the source of pain? Why is there pain and suffering? And they need to be able to answer this question in a way that young people can understand it. When a young person wants to know why is there pain and suffering in the world, that's their heart crying out for a deeper understanding of God. You know, that's not challenging faith. That's just one, it's the heart saying, make sense of this. Make sense of this pain and suffering. You know, this is how we, you know, this is how we grow wiser, you know, how we handle suffering. You know, Christ is in the suffering with us. He's not separate from us. So, you know, pastors and, you know, youth pastors, theologians, you know, they have to understand, they have to be able to understand this question. The other question, or answer their questions, the other thing that young people are driven away from church about is science, questions of science. And they can't reconcile the 7 days of creation in the book of Genesis, what's their scientific classes, their biology classes, their you know, whatever classes, physics classes teaches them about the origins of the universe. And they need to understand that there are resources for that sort of thing. I mean, the idea that, you know, like some like Reasons to Believe will tell you about, like, you know, the beginnings of the universe. And one of the questions that they get a lot of times from young people is, well, who created God? You know, who created God? It's because their natural understanding of the universe is that we're all contingent. I mean, they don't put it that way, but the idea is that, you know, I have a mother, she has a mother, they have a mother, grand, you know, you can just go back through the generations of millions of generations, you know, millions of years. And it's like, at some point you're going to get back to the beginning of time. Then you have to go, well, who created God? And that's always the question. It's like, well, you know, these are questions that you can be solved by something like the cosmological argument, which William Lane Craig talks about a lot. I can explain to you how these things happen. You've got Aquinas talking and Plato talking about the unmoved mover. You know, these philosophers understood that if everything's contingent, at some point you've got to get back to the beginning where there's something outside of time, outside of space, that is not in time and in space that created what we have today. And that would be a God who made something out of nothing. And that is exactly what the Bible describes God to be. So from us, you could almost, you really can't understand it in any other way except through science, But you've got Genesis, which is a poetic reading of the beginning of the universe. And so pastors need to really be able to get into those resources to help young people understand it and get their questions answered.
And I love too that not interpreting their questions as a challenge or an
Right.
indictment, but as a seeking heart, like truly wanting to understand, help me understand this. So, and we want so much to honor God in all of it. Do we want to worship a God we can explain away? I mean, there's a mystery to all of this, but still we've got to have some answers and a good
Yeah.
way to respond. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I got one more question before we dig into your devotional light for today. 365 daily devotions from Light. House. So many nuggets of wisdom, which we will read throughout the show, and we'll put those on Twitter, which is now known as X. We'll just because they're great, great quotes that will encourage your heart. Talking to religion correspondent for Fox News, Lauren Green, about her book, Light for Today. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Natasha texts in from Wisconsin, says, humans are finite. We're not ever going to be able to understand God for who he truly is. Not on this side of heaven anyway. Amen, Natasha. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. You know, following Jesus is not just something we do. It's who we are. We follow him because he's the savior of the world. He lived, he died, he rose again, and blew the doors off of the devil's claim on us. That's why we can live free, and we can share with others the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right now, it's our spring fundraising season, and we would love for you to join the Faith Radio family. Tell others about how God has changed your life. Be an ambassador for Christ as you share the good news. And then, if you feel so led, would you join the giving family now? You can do so by clicking on the link in the show notes or simply give safe and secure online at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to Lauren Green today about her devotional light for today, 365 daily devotions from the Lighthouse. Got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And Lauren, I'd love to know how you balance career as a journalist with your Christian faith, especially in a day with so much polarizing activity, so many strong opinions. How do you do that?
A lot of prayer, a lot of scripture reading, a lot of reading, a lot of listening to sermons, Christian music, seeing, I just don't read a lot of frivolous things. I really read things to help understand God more and more. I do relax. I mean, I love watching, certain shows on TV and everything, but I think understanding people and seeing in the people that you work with, not just competitors or colleagues, but people who were made in God's image. And first and foremost, that's what they are, no matter if I agree with them or not. I think that's really important. And to treat people like God would want you to treat them, that they are, they're his image bearers, and he loves them just as he loves me. So I think that's what's really important. I think it's not a challenge then, in a workplace environment. It's simply just trying to understand who people are, what their needs are. I think, one of the things that Jesus always did is that if you notice this in all of the Gospels, whenever people approach him or ask him questions, he always responds to their heart. He doesn't answer the question directly. If you notice that it's always kind of a question in the heart. He understands what their heart is asking, not just what the words they're speaking are asking. And I think that's really important to kind of operate like that.
Paul said, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. And I think that means we contend constantly for a redeemed perspective of everybody, whether we agree with them or not. And that takes some engagement, that takes humility, that takes mercy. And I'm praying that we, as God's people, can. That's a good fight of faith. Go, I'm so I care so much about their salvation. I care so much about the hurts in their heart that I'm going to wrestle for a redeemed perspective, you know?
You know, we're just reading the book public reading of scripture, and we're reading The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom, and she's talking about when they were arrested and they're in a concentration camp and they're being treated so badly by the German officers. And Corrie was very angry, but her sister Betsy was saying, you know, if someone can learn to hate, they can learn to love too. And so they started praying for that. And how wonderful a reaction to being treated so badly is to see that there's still something in their heart that wants to love and wants to know Jesus in a way that they can live it out in their lives. I think that's just a way Christians really can just find this love that surpasses all understanding only by understanding the love they've been given.
Amen. Talk about the importance of the lighthouse, just that as a metaphor for you, why that means so much to you.
Well, it really is kind of a personal level, but also a practical level. And we know that the lighthouse is a source of refuge and strength and safety as it beacons a way home, a way to the shoreline, a way to safety. But also, I began to look at it in terms of how the Ten Commandments are structured. And I had actually had this theory about it, you know, from a lecture sermon that I'd heard from Dr. Timothy Keller, and that the first commandment is key to keeping the rest of the commandments. I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. And you can't violate commandments 2 through 10 without first violating number one. So every commandment, 2 through 10, is identified by its relationship to the first commandment first, and second by everything else in, you know, of the Ten Commandments. And it occurred to me that this is not just, this is a closed system. This is a closed system. And it's like, my goodness, closed systems. This is how kind of everything works. And I really looked at it as sort of God's logo on everything. But more importantly, here you've got the lighthouse where the beacon is shining out. It's saying, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. And here it is, the light of the first commandment shining out to us from his world. And I remember how it struck me because I was doing a lot of writing at a friend's place in Long Island. And I'd been in the house a lot because I'd go there from the summer to write. And there had been this old grainy photo of a lighthouse on the bathroom counter. I mean, it wasn't not elaborate at all. It was on the bathroom counter. And I was going through a lot of hardships and a lot of changes and, you know, just heart crying out to God. And I remember looking down at that lighthouse and it just struck me. And I began to cry because I knew, it's like God was telling me, I am here. I've been here all the time. Mm-hmm. And that lighthouse was that emotional connection now to a God that was always there, and that the theory of my closed system now had a form. It had the lighthouse. And so it struck me on so many different levels that this was God speaking to me. Yeah, it was but personal and not just a metaphor, but an actual symbol of God's presence. That the Ten Commandments, his law, is not just an arbitrary list of do's and don'ts, but an actual description of who God is.
I'm thinking of the person right now listening who is trying to discern God's best will for their lives, and they don't have a sense of direction. They're looking, Lord, I'm sensing, and I've been here before, as I said at the open of the show, where you feel like God is loosening the tent pegs of your tent, going, don't get too comfortable, get ready to move. And the winds of change are kind of blowing, but you really have no clue which direction to go. What advice would you have for that person today?
Well, one of the things that I learned, and just it's a hard thing to learn, but it's also a good thing to learn, is that he talked about wisdom, and wisdom is knowing kind of what to do in the vast majority of cases where the moral rules really don't apply. You know, so what you've got to pray for God is discernment of wisdom, of, you know, guiding your footsteps. it's not like you shouldn't make a move unless you sort of get some sort of direction from God. But I think every day there's a possibility to draw closer to God or go further away from God. But an individual who's wondering, what should I be doing? And we ask these questions a lot in this kind of world, in our kind of culture, about, what job should I have? Who should I be dating? What school should I go to? Sir, these are not moral questions, because it's not going to be, a moral question of whether you should go to the University of Minnesota or the University of Wisconsin. That's not a moral issue. So you're trying to say, what is on my heart? God, lead me and guide me. The thing about it is, you must remember, whatever decision you make, if you are making the decision with God, then God's going to always be with you. He's going to lead and direct you. And, there is not really a bad decision in terms of, have I made the wrong move? No, because all things work together for good for those who love God and called according to his purpose. What does that tell you? It means to love God first. Whatever decisions you make, God is going to be in that decision in terms of leading you and guiding you. He's either going to be letting you make a mistake or letting you do something that maybe you don't like, or he's going to lead you in a way that, you'll know, okay, this was the right decision. But whether it's a quote right decision or wrong decision is really not the question. Is, do you love God? Do you love God? You
And
know,
who
then
do you
all
say
things
that he
work
is?
together for his good.
And really the power of the Prince of Peace. I mean, wisdom's path is peace. I love that so much because I think we can get stuck in the paralysis of analysis where we're like, I'm not making a move, I'm not making a move. And but like you said, if you walk intimately with God, and these aren't moral choices, it's not a life death as far as I'm going to choose the death choice. I'm going to turn left or turn, go in this route that takes me away from my family and all that's right and good. Obviously that God doesn't want you to do that. But if it's between this job or that job, this school, that school, and you even start to move in that direction, if you have a lack of peace or a check in your spirit, that's a gift from God, right?
In all things be thankful, rejoice always. In all things be thankful. And so, I mean, like, it was just going back to the hiding place. One of the things that they were had to contend with is that they were in these crowded conditions and they were sleeping on a straw that had a fleas. And so they actually had to be thankful and say, thank you, God, for the fleas. I mean, you can imagine me having to be thankful for something like that. But it's just this, we want to make decisions without any kind of, like you said, without any paralysis. Like, just let's I want to make the right decision. I want to be the right path. I want it to be, clear sailing all the way through, till death do us part. I mean, life is just not like that. Life is just not like that. Do I have, should I have gone this way or should I have gone, this way? It's like, it doesn't matter. Do you love God and are called according to his purpose? I think that is the main question. Now, there are some questions that people want answered that are very, very deep and very, very painful. There may be somebody out there deciding whether or not they should divorce their spouse. And this is not a question, a lot of Christians want to deal with. These are really hard things, Should I break up with my boyfriend or girlfriend? The divorce issue, I would probably check in with somebody who has a little more experience in terms of, like a pastor, counselor. My first question, my first answer would be just, I don't think God would, would okay to separate what he has joined, to, whatever vows are made on his holy altar. Of course, he would want you to uphold. And I told someone this. I said, that being said, the Bible does give reasons for a divorce, which is adultery or abuse, but it's not mandated. So there you go. So that's as much as I can say to that. So you're still going to have to seek out the responsible, authoritative people when you're asking questions like that. But the general idea about, directions in life, I think, are very, very much about loving God and loving your fellow human being as a love that is understanding that everybody kind of has a different love language, and to understand what that love language might be and to try to speak to it.
And truly, they, as they say, don't make a permanent decision in a temporary circumstance. You know, I often say my two kind of indicators are if I want to move so bad or I want to make a decision so bad because I want immediate relief, then oftentimes when it takes more faith to stay, then you need to stay. If you want to stay because you don't want to take a risk, you want to stay comfortable, you probably need to go. And so I think oftentimes when you're feeling that inner tension, it's like, what does your flesh want? And what would require faith, and where's the peace of God? Those are things that really help me. But I want to read this before we go to break. You said, we need to ask ourselves daily if we're doing God's will or following our own. When we take our eyes off of Jesus and stray from God's will, we will risk having to face unintended consequences. The Bible's our manual for life and the one to follow if we want to enjoy the hope and happiness found in God. And this dear listener texted in and said, regarding decisions, I went against godly advice a few times in life, and I suffered for years because of it. I just want to thank you, friend, for having the courage to text that in. We bless you. And what's amazing about God's grace and his mercy is that you can begin again. And he sends new mercies to your door every day. And none of us get it right all the time. But there is wisdom in godly counselors. And as Lauren said, the Bible is the living word of God, and it's alive. And there is a word in there for you from God. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll talk more about God's promise to be with us on this journey. And how do you navigate the decisions you need to make? How do you know when God's saying go, when he's saying stay? How can you trust him when your flesh wants to just rise up and you want to defend yourself or you want to preempt an outcome because he doesn't seem to be moving fast enough? How do we trust God in those places? Lauren Green is my guest. Light for Today is her book, 365 Daily Devotions from the Lighthouse. We'll be back in a minute. You're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. Lauren Green joins us today. We're talking about her 365-day devotional, Light for Today. She's got a lighthouse on the front. And we were just talking before the break about how it is that way, isn't it? Where his word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light to our path. And we want so much the full map, A to B, you know, get us all the way there. But we have a tendency then to just take it up on our own and lean on our own understanding. And as my hubby Kev always says, his dependence on God is his superpower. When we learn to get comfortable with the vulnerability of dependence, when we get to be content with a step at a time sometimes, we will see God do his best work. And Gwen wrote in and she says, you know, discernment is so key. He generously gives us wisdom when we ask. And if we make a decision that wasn't God's actual best for us, he can redeem it. Somebody got to give me an amen. Lauren, I would love to know about just times in your own journey when you maybe were at a crossroads, you didn't know what to do, you were seeking God, and then the answer came. And I'm going to refer to, I wish I would have memorized this verse. It's in Proverbs, but it says something like, wisdom will enter your heart, knowledge will fill you with peace. And I love the suddenliness of that, where all of a sudden you kind of know what to do. I'd love if you can think of an example from your life.
Well, also one of the scriptures, the Proverbs that I actually do like, and one of my favorites is trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. And these things seem in contrast, but yet not. I mean, you were talking about, you know, the wisdom and trying to make decisions of which way to go. And then this proverb seems to say, well, you know, don't worry about it. You know, don't make any decision. And these things are not in contrast. They're actually very much in, like I said, very much partners in that there are some situations where we really can't figure things out. We don't have all the answers. And this is when the stress and a lot of, you know, anxiety comes from, is not thinking that we should have these answers. And God says, you know, you're not in control of the universe. You're not going to have the answers. You need to trust in me for these answers. And then there are definitely things that we can do to make wise decisions. You know, one of the things that the best advice that I got once, and it just seemed so simple, and it came from Pastor Jake's daughter, Sarah Jake's. And And she was giving this sermon and she just said, stay in your lane. It was like, what? Stay in your lane. I mean, it was just like so perfect in terms of understanding that, you have a lane and, you've got talents, you've got this, you've got things going on. It's okay. You're still you. You're still loved. You still have these talents. Stay in your lane. Stay the course. And boy, sometimes you just like, okay, all righty. And then you wait for God to do his work. And the other things that I think that one of the great verses that has always helped me is the battle belongs to the Lord. We just think that if we could just write the right, email to the right person, that everything would just fall into place in work environments or ideas. And sometimes we just need to stand back and let God do his work and just say, okay, the battle belongs to the Lord. And this is when the Israelites are up against its seemingly insurmountable battle and an enemy that could not be overcome. And that's when they are told, the battle belongs to the Lord. Of course you can't do this. No one expects you to do that. That's why you have to stand back. And I mean, I have had so many of those kinds of situations in a work environment over the past, 30 years of finally realizing that it's not up to me. I've done my work, I've done my practice, I've done my research. Now I have to just let God do his work. So, we are in communion with God. We're in partnership with God, but for most part, God is in control. Very much so.
Yeah, very good. Sometimes when we're following God, he leads us right into the wilderness, like he did with Jesus. Jesus, was led by God into the wilderness, and he was in a weakened state from fasting, and yet one would say he was actually in a strengthened state from fasting. I would bend on that side for sure. And the devil used scripture to tempt Jesus. And I love this. You said, if the Bible offered only solace and comfort, then occasional reading would be fine. But if the Holy Scriptures are truly the sword of the Spirit, a spiritual weapon, then they have the power to thwart the devil's scheme. So talk about that encounter, the fact that God led him to the wilderness. And I believe so strongly that he wouldn't have been able to. Well, he was Jesus. He could have done anything he wanted, but I don't think I could do some. I'm thinking of me in battles. Let me apply this to myself. When I'm in a weakened state, I don't trust myself, but that deeper dependence brings more clarity than if I were leaning on my own understanding. Let me put it that way.
No,
But talk
you've
about
said
that.
it, Susie, you've said it so perfectly, and you actually hit the key, the weakened state. And I think a lot of when you read that, it might, be bypassed this idea that the devil is tempting Jesus when Jesus is at his weakest, at the end of the 40 days of not eating and not drink. I mean, this is so he's not just weak, he is the weakest he could be. And he's being tempted in areas that we're all tempted in. They're tempted in, to give you something that you desperately want, food, nourishment, to give you something that the human being, the human animal kind of always wants, power and control, and then of course to be admired, to be the center of attention, to have the accolades that we're all looking for. And these, there are three temptations that apply to really the three things that human beings crave the most: money, power, and acknowledgement. And so here, Jesus being tempted, not when he's strong, but when he's weak. And that's how we are tempted as well. We are tempted when we are weak and not when we're strong. And we are attacked in the very area where we have our identity.
Yeah,
The
so
thing
true.
that we don't want to lose the most is the thing that we are attacked in first, this is why staying close to God's word is so very important. Because let's say my identity is in being, I don't know, being a sports hero, being an athlete. Everybody kind of related because we always watch sports, and I just loved watching Caitlin Clark in the NCAA tournament. And so let's say your identity is in being a sports or an athletic star, and you have an injury that basically jeopardizes your entire career. If your identity is only in being an athlete, then an injury that threatens your very career is not just an injury and makes you sad. This is an existential crisis. You have no reason to live if this was your reason for being, if that was your identity. So the idea of being, being attacked in a certain way, of course, if someone said, Lauren, you'll never be a basketball star. Well, that's fine because I never really wanted to be a basketball star. So I'm not going to be attacked in that area. Right.
Okay, yeah. Right? That doesn't hurt so much if someone says that to you.
Yes. Lauren, you're not going to be a nuclear physicist. Wow. That just blows my mind. Oh my gosh. That's not my identity, but Lauren has things where, that have become her little G gods, the false idols. That's the area that I'm going to be attacked in. And that's where that's the area everybody's going to be attacked in. Be on your lookout. Put on the full armor of God. To wrestle with the Satan's devices, because he will come at you in the very area where you think is your reason for being. I can't even fathom. And the more I understand, the more it's like, oh my gosh, this world is such a treacherous place, spiritually speaking,
Yeah.
And to staying close to God, praying is the only solace we have, is the only refuge we have. That's it.
And the amazing thing as we go to break here is that you're living and breathing on this earth for such a time as this. There was no mistakes that God would have you be living and breathing in these trying days. And we serve the same God, yesterday, today, forever. Same God who parted the sea, lives in me. You have the Spirit of God in you. And so somehow, some way, even in such dark days, God is well able to restore your soul, to heal your broken body, to bring your prodigal home. So don't give up hope. Don't be so overcome by the darkness and overcome by the bad news that you forget that the good news is far more powerful still. When we come back, we're going to talk about two things. One, we got a great question from a listener who said, thank you for this. How do you discern when God invites us to participate with him and what he's doing versus when he's inviting us to rest and watch him work? Great question. Second thing I want to talk about is trenches. The enemy digs trenches, traps for you. But Lauren says God also digs trenches on your behalf. We'll talk about those two things when we come back. Lauren Green's my guest. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. This is Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live. I don't know about you, but I love consistent nourishment. I love to fast on occasion. There's a purpose in that. But if you go too long without eating on a regular basis because you're too busy, your body actually goes into crisis mode. Well, in the same way, your soul, your spirit, they need nourishment too. And that's why it's so important to be listening to scripture, listening to good teaching on a consistent basis throughout the day. That's why we're here. We love what we do, and we want to do it with you. If you listen on the radio, on the terrestrial signal, we encourage you, download our free Faith Radio app. That way, if you're traveling this season, you can take us with you wherever you go. You can catch the live shows or even the podcast after the fact. And we've made it easier than ever. All you have to do is text the word app to 877-933-2484 and then click the link. I hope you will walk with us on this journey. Greater things are yet to be done in and all around us because God, well, he's on the move. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Lauren Green today about her 365-day devotional light for today. And Lauren, I got a great question from a listener who says, thanks so much for this. How do you discern when God invites us to participate with him and what he's doing versus when he's inviting us to rest and watch him work? What say you?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't have a solid answer on this. My only answer to a lot of things is just to pray and stay in prayer with God, because one of the things that is very apparent is that, prayer is our direct line to God. We don't understand. I mean, I think that if God is in you, if Christ is in you, meaning our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, then we are always participating in whatever with God in this life. I mean, because of in Him we move and have our being. And I understand what you're saying is that should I, engage in this, or should I just let God, do something on my behalf? I think prayer is the only way you really can start thinking about that and finding scripture that applies to it. And I think God will lead your heart in that way. But definitely, God is with you in all things, because of the scripture tells us, like we said, he says, in him we move and have our being.
I'm thinking as I'm considering this, scripture talks about a mindset on the spirit is life and peace. And I would say you discern what has life on it, what has peace on it. And I'll just say this quickly. I've talked about this on the show before, but in one of the deepest battles with my health, the three things God gave me, because I needed to know the answer to that question, He gave me three strategies. You rest while I work, you feast while I fight, and you wait to take flight. And rest while I work is when I'm in striving, trying to make it on my own, that's when I cease striving and know that He is God. When I'm being baited by the enemy into a battle that feels over my head, I feast while He fights. I feast at the table. He prepares a table for me in the presence of the living God. And then you wait to take flight. Just when you're tempted to get ahead of God to make something happen, though He works for those who wait on Him. Those who wait on Him will renew their strength. So for me, that helps because it's like I kind of look at the options and go, which has more life and peace in it, and which is faith calling me to. So hopefully that will help you feel.
Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. Absolutely.
We only got a few minutes left, but I really want to talk about in your chapter titled God's Tank Warfare. This
No,
was so good.
yes.
Come on, somebody. I feel like this,
Oh.
someone needed to hear this today. You write this: in war, an enemy builds a trench to destroy. But when God builds a trench or puts up a roadblock, it's to save us. If we all look back on our lives, we see so many times when we cried out to God in anger. Maybe it was the pain of a relationship coming to an end, or an opportunity we felt we deserved that passed us by, or just general malaise and frustration over life circumstances. But if we see these contradictions as trenches, small and large, in God's divine tank warfare, we can see His firm but loving hand directing us toward a better path, leading to Him and to His wisdom. I love that so much. Say more about that.
Well, one of the things I was actually watching a program on World War II and talking about tank warfare in World War II. And they said things about tanks, they are strong, but they are not very maneuverable. So you can build a trench and will do two things. It will trap the tank so that it's easier, more easily attacked and destroyed, or the trench will actually direct the tank to where you want it to go. And I thought that is just like God, because we are just like those tanks. We just barrel through thinking we got the power behind us, we got everything in line, and I'm just going to go right here and do this because I know I've got the power. And then something happens, and it's like, God, I don't understand why you're letting this happen to me. I had all it planned. And I think that's where it came from in terms of, we want to make plans at 22 that still hold true when we're 42. And anybody who's lived 20 years understands that those things just don't come to play. I mean, it's, there are going to be a lot of twists and turns in your life that some are painful, some are joyful, but and many are unexpected. But that's kind of in the way of the tank warfare of the trenches. It's like, if we could make all the right decisions and nothing would happen to us, we wouldn't need God, but we can't. We make bad decisions based on bad information, based on bad motivations. So I think, just being closer to God, understanding this God who created order out of His love, and that it's His loving hand that's guiding us away from those trenches and into His loving arms. We have to think of it that way.
After I read that, I literally stepped away from my desk, got on my knees at my chair like an altar, and I just thanked God for all the things that didn't go the way I wanted to. I mean, just trusting so much that He's digging trenches around me. He's really, even putting roadblocks in places he doesn't want me to go. And it helped me rest in his love once again, Lauren. And I just want to thank you for those insights in laboring. I know what it is to write a 365-day devotional. It's not for sissies. I'm just telling you, Lauren, thank you. Thank you for the time today. Really appreciate it.
It is my blessing and my pleasure. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
And as we wrap, I want to read this last excerpt from her book. At the end of the day, God's not an academic pursuit. He's not a theology class, although we can learn much about him by studying his word. He's the ultimate relationship partner. While other religions give you sets of do's and don'ts, Christianity gives you a person. It's Jesus. It's Jesus with whom we can expose all our weaknesses and wants, our hopes and fears, and never-ending quest to be holy and fully loved. It is with Jesus that we have a love that will never die. I pray you found some encouragement here today. Walk intimately with God. Stay in his word. It's living and it's breathing. Trust his love because he is so for you. We will meet you back here next time. Thank you for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These conversations are available because of your support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes, and then share it with friends so together we can all have a deeper life in Christ.